Here we go. Let's get into it, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, you're now tuned in, Walker the Walker. We got a good one for y'all today, so I want y'all to strap in and appreciate these Keith Sweat voices. Not just kidding. It's my only joke today, ladies and gentlemen, I promise. But y'all strap in and get ready. Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Walker the Walker. I'm your man, Lou Walker, as always. And sitting across from me is the OG himself. That's OG Joe.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Wonderful. How you feeling today, OG?
Oh, my goodness, man. I tell you, you know, when you look around, because we're in the season. Mm-hmm. We're in a season right now. You know how, and we aren't going to get into the Bible, but you know how they say everything happens in a season. You know, and this is an election season, man. This is a voting season, and you talking about strife.
Ooh.
You're talking about all of the stiffness of the people, man. I mean, people are like literally walking on eggshells.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And it permeates. You know, when you're around people, mm-hmm. you can sense the tension.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Particularly, you know, between the different parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we was talking about off the mic about maturityness.
Yes, yes.
You know, and man, when you're around these people, you know that they have not grown mature enough to say, hey, you know, I like this guy, I like that guy, you know, but, you know, everything is good.
Now forgive me for appealing to the corporate world. I don't really like having conversations in such fashion because as you speak on maturity levels, right, we're speaking on a person that is highly opinionated on his partisan side. You know, this is a way left guy or girl, and this is a way right guy or girl. Don't know who they're talking to. So they could be talking to a you or me, a left wing, a right wing, whatever the case. And they'll give off these entire spills about how, oh, well, it's all about Harris Waltz. It's all about Trump Vance. It's all about. And then just on the small communication factors of just asking a question. So you feel like Harris Waltz, a person that put people away for simple crimes like weed possession, is a worse candidate. Or a better candidate than that of a person that has the only highlight that he has is the 2019 the COVID money that he shoveled out, which actually Congress passed, but we're not going to get into who did what. But that's the only highlight that a lot of people are giving. But there's a lot of negative light on Trump's side. So now you have to have a conversation in justifying somebody that did a few wrongs that are being highlighted in today's time. And then you're going to sit up there and say that the right that Harris Waltz was doing is wrong. Like trying to flip the narrative to make a wrongdoing seem right.
Well, that is an issue, but, you know, without even talking about the issues,
right.
You know, when you're in the presence of people, you know, I'm telling you, man, the tension is so stifling.
Yes.
You know, and you're not even having a conversation of politics at this point.
Just
right?
The point of view.
You know, not even mention it. I mean, just to walk in the presence of different people,
right.
Politically,
okay.
Politically, you know, you can feel the strife, you can feel the tension,
right?
You know, and it's, I'm telling you, man, it is stifling, man, because people are going like, they can't believe it. They're literally in a state of disbelief,
right?
Okay. You know, because, you know, they didn't anticipate this climate.
Yes.
You know, to be between the parties as they are.
Right.
You know, so they're kind of like, already they think he it's a cheating going on. But at any rate, you know.
You can't really call it cheating when we're only underway with early voting.
Well, you know, we...
Can we really do that? Because there's only one headline so far that has been alarming, and that's that what was that, Philly? Was it Pennsylvania? They got into that huge explosion or whatever, whatnot, and some of the votes were burnt away or some jazz.
Yeah,
like that.
That was an unfortunate event.
It was very unfortunate, but we can't really pin that on the ideas of cheating.
Well, you can't, but what I'm thinking in terms of how all of a sudden, you know, the president comes out of the campaign, you know, and nominate someone else on the ticket. You know, they thought that was a little suspicious, but at any rate, in that light,
I'll understand that, because it's like, well, I understand you're the president, but. What make, like, you can't pick your predecessor. You can't, like, yeah. I don't think it works like that. I think the world got to vote for the person that they're going to put in.
Well, you know, I think both parties would hold the responsibility of that, because, you know, at one point, you know, they kept talking about him being too old.
Right.
And he had this mental decline.
Right.
Okay. So they could have gone to the 25th Amendment and had, you know, to try to get him removed.
They could have.
You know, so, but the Democrats decided that they would talk with the president, you know, and let him see where the polls was putting him, because his rating had fallen way below 40. You know, he's down in the low 30s on his rating.
I mean,
and history has taught them that, you know, the incumbent with the rating that low usually go on and lose the campaign.
Generally.
You know, so, you know, they were trying to, two things, you know, they were trying to protect his legacy. You know, so
Hunter was trying to throw salt on that.
Yeah, well, you know, Hunter really shouldn't even come up in the same conversation as the president and his duties, you know, because that's a personal issue,
But when you speak of legacy, you speak of personal.
Well, but it has nothing to do with what my son did.
No, you're right.
You know, so when, and that's what I would always get, you know, kind of aggravated with these politicians, you know, when they look, I'm the president. My son is not the president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trump was the president.
Mm-hmm.
His son was not the president. So why do we always bring the president's family into his struggles?
But you know what I mean? But that seems like a nationwide type thing.
Well, it is. But
when you look at pro sports is no different. You look at Adrian Peterson, who had to sit down a few games for spanking his child. You know, you got Ray Rice, who was.
But see, we're talking specifically about Adrian Peterson.
Right, but only using them as the example because their kids aren't indeed old enough to possess cocaine. But in the light of, you know, to your point of taking someone's personal and making it about their professional is where the problem, I agree with you, lies at. Because what does Adrian Peterson spanking his child upon discipline have to do with how many yards he runs in a football field?
Right. So even at that, you know, if you want to try to degrade the individual,
yeah,
you know, And exactly that's what the attempt is try to show light of these people not being quite up to speed of what they represent.
Right.
You know, so Hunter Biden is, you know, or Adrian Peterson's personal lifestyle.
Right.
I discipline my child, so what?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
If I don't do anything, then there's still a conversation.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, how they always say, damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Yeah, but that can all be changed by shoe on the other foot policies. If you do shoe on the other foot, because there's not a single person out here that is going to sit up here and really look at the merits of someone's personal life if your promotion was based on yours. And what I mean by that is, can you imagine working at a post office? Imagine working at any government official job, and you're going and you're fighting for a promotion, and then you get denied because you smoke weed at home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's personal, and it has absolutely zero to do with your professional lifestyle. What are your merits at work? The fact that you smoke weed shouldn't matter. Are you at work on time? Are you performing at high capacity? Are you doing productivity, movements throughout the day? Those are the things that we are going to analyze when we're looking for a promotion in an employee. So when you're looking at Adrian Peterson, you're saying, is he running 100 yards a game? Is he scoring 2 touchdowns a game? Is he catching the ball? Is he blocking for the quarterback in any situation that his assignment tells him to? Those are the things that we're looking at as far as for the salary cap. We're looking at, all right, Joe Biden. We're looking at how many countries did you help out? How many laws did you pass? How many, things did you overturn? Where did you stand on health insurance? Where did you stand on this, that, the third? All of these things are the best merits to really talk about your president, but it's not going to be how much coke did your son consume in a week. None of that matters when you're talking about presidency, because Hunter is not going for president. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like, to your aggravation, I agree. You know, let's keep it towards merits. And to a lot of the Trump supporters out there, I'll side with you guys as well. You know, what he did with the whole, fraudulent, with funds or the Stormy Daniels.
Personally.
His personal life was.
No. Was what I'm saying, painted. Personally, he shouldn't even be a candidate.
He shouldn't. shouldn't.
He doesn't represent America. He doesn't represent the Republican Party.
All right, now, Pop, you sounded a little left wing.
Yeah. Well, I just, that's why I just like you. But he personally really shouldn't, man, because
honestly, it's not his avenue. Like, he's a businessman. He's not a president. If you're asking my personal opinion, the man is real good with business. He knows how to make money. He know how to turn millions into millions. I mean, he's done it.
I don't want to talk about it.
We're not going to go into it.
I don't want to record what I want to say. But just to
level it with you, we can easily say he has some accolades that he did earn. Just some. He has some accolades out there that he...
I would have a great deal of respect for this guy if he had been like Jeff Bezos or, Warren Buffett. I mean, these guys built their empire from the garage. We wouldn't take it from the garage for Bezos,
I noticed you didn't mention Elon.
Elon built his too.
From a storage unit.
Yeah, when somebody walks up or you're fortunate enough to have a father to set you into business.
Yeah.
And I can see if you've taken those, he said it was, just $1 million, but everybody else talking about it was $3 million. But it doesn't matter what the denomination amount was. It's the fact that you didn't start from the bottom. You started already above the bottom.
But in that light.
But now let me finish because
okay, go ahead.
Because, not only did you start in the middle, if you will, because his father was already dabbling in the real estate.
Right.
So he just climbed up with his father.
Took over the family business.
Yeah, but see, this guy has been losing ever since. Look, man, you can be a billionaire and not be successful at being a billionaire.
Yeah, that happens.
See, because you don't have $1 billion. You have $1 billion worth of assets.
Right.
But you have lost four times as much as you earned. That don't make you successful.
I get you that.
You know?
But
so I don't even like to talk about him because he don't. He's not even there.
But you have to have a small, small.
Argent Blue. Look at that guy. You know, that guy.
We're not talking about Argent Blue. Listen, but you have to give him a small salt, a teaspoon of respect. You have to, because
I don't.
As we talk about,
I don't like to talk about
him. I know you don't, but the reason why I say you got to give him some type of respect is because he is a heir to millions of dollars. Now, how often do you see a kid who has been born into millions? How often do you see them actually go and be something?
Let me ask you something. How many other presidents do you know that has all a multi-line of products on the market? You got corns and bears and books and what else is it? Sneakers. You know, all the cryptocurrency, you know. Yeah, that's not a presidential arena.
Right, that's a stock market arena.
Well, that's not even a stock market arena. That's just somebody like, look, man, you know, you want to sell products, then get out of this, man, because you can't be a business owner, you know, conflict as a president.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, well, the Constitution tells you that if you're going to be the president, you can't have a business in your name.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So all this stuff that he's doing, man, this guy got Truth Social. What the hell the president doing with the social media? You know?
I think all the presidents got a social media.
No. They all have a page. He owns a company.
Okay.
You know, he owns a social media company. So why? I mean, he's in a whole different arena.
Right, okay.
You know, he really shouldn't be where campaigning to be president, man.
Honestly, as long as you own any kind of business that is lucrative in America, I don't feel like you should be president just on the strength of conflict of interest, like I just stated, where you're going to kind of lean towards keeping your business afloat.
Look, the president shall be the commander in chief of the Army and the Navy of the United States.
Right.
Okay. Not the CEO of Truth Social or CEO of Sneaker World, you know, or Crypto World, you know?
I got to say, I love how you're sticking to your guns. Now, you mentioned the Constitution. Now, we're supposed to be on Article 2, right?
Yeah. What's on tap? Article 2, Section 2.
Let's get it on tap, because we just went almost 20 minutes.
On a wasted, on Donald J.
We're going to leave Donald J.
If he
wins, congratulations. If you lose, you've seen it coming.
Well, if he wins, he wins.
That's what I'm saying. But let's tap in for the day.
He can, you know, Article 2, Section 2.
All right, let's get into it.
So, Section 2 of Article 2 talks about the president being the commander in chief. And I think we kind of spoke about that
just
last time, you know.
Briefly.
Of the military, the Army, and the Navy. And so, he has many duties as a commander in chief, but in order to understand his leadership executives, you know, he can have each officer or have each department to give him the principal officer of that executive department and the duties.
Okay.
Of their respective offices.
Okay.
Okay. So there's so much there with the president, because, you know, as the commander in chief, that's just like being the CEO of the company.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to know who your officers are, and you got to know what their responsibilities towards your mission or your goal,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you'll know who to hold accountable for the shortcomings, if there be.
See, and that's the thing, man. You use the term hold accountable. I like to use the term
Fall Guy.
Well, someone, see, and that's a problem.
Fault. That's yeah, problem with
that's
society.
A problem that we're having in our society right
yes.
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because no one is held accountable. Someone of being accused, but they always, you know, there's always an scapegoat or a fall guy.
Yeah.
And the punishment never fits the crime, so
never.
To speak. You
never
know?
Does.
So he can, so one of the duties, you know, of a president is he can grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States.
Yeah.
Except in cases of impeachment.
Okay.
So these reprieves and pardons happens when some, well, of course, you know, someone have committed a crime. So
naturally,
we define a reprieve temporarily postponing the imposition of a criminal sentence.
Okay.
Particularly a death sentence.
Ooh.
You know, you can get a reprieve. And the reason why they give this reprieve, it gives the inmate more time to appeal or provide the president more time to consider a pardon or commutation.
Okay.
You know, because they can commute the crime, you know, and... Just so you'll understand exactly what commutation is, it's the reduction of a criminal sentence or punishment. And, you know, a few reasons for a commutation. One would be good behavior, illness, old age, and of the sentence that may be too harsh for the crime.
Right, and if it's my understanding as well, it's similar but not identical to a pardon, because a pardon would eliminate it entirely, where commutation indeed reduces the crime. Am I close to the ball game?
Well, yeah, commutation reduces. That's a reduction of a criminal sentence. So suppose you had. Been charged for a crime and you was given, let's say, a life sentence. Well, you have to be careful with a life sentence, because different states, a life sentence means something less than your natural life.
Right.
You know, a life sentence in some states can be like 15 years.
Depending on how old you are.
Well, it depends on what state you're in.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it depends on what state. And I don't think that those particular states' age is taken into consideration. It's just that a life sentence can be 25 years.
Right.
You know.
So when go ahead. I'm sorry.
So when you think in terms of a criminal sentence mm-hmm. or punishment, so you have to think in terms of years.
Right. Not months.
Yeah. In terms of year. Well, here's what the reason why I say that, because. In these states, if they say you get a life sentence,
right,
and again, as I stated, that could be 25 years,
right,
as a life,
right,
sentence. So, if they say now you do 99 years, you know, you can almost rest assured that you'll do 99 years.
Yeah,
you know, but if they give you a life sentence, you know, again, that could be 25, whatever that state.
Right.
A life sentence right. is.
Now, a good example for commutation, just would that be considered like if I was to get convicted of, you know, life, 25 or more or whatever, without possibility of parole, would a commutation be like just getting let out, or would it be more so changing that without possibility of parole to possibility of parole?
Well, that's what the president has that autonomy to
okay.
decide.
All right, you perfect,
know,
perfect,
he
perfect,
can
perfect.
He can say, "Hey, look, good behavior. You know, you can get out in 30 years, 40 years. You know, okay. depending on what you're saying. If you got a life sentence, he can commute it. you know, on good behavior or illness, old age. Now, this is when old age would come into.
Perfect.
Because I was just listening to a parole board. This guy, he's 72 right now, but he was given a life sentence. And so for a crime that he alleged in the very beginning that he did not commit.
Right.
You know, and he stuck to his guns. So, but he had been going to before the parole board, you know, over those years of 50 some years that he was incarcerated. And so they go to this board and they, you know, except for this last time, he wasn't present. Hmm. The guy is 72 now. I think he was like 24 when he went in.
Right, okay.
You know, so this last, and he had been before the board, you know, almost a dozen times.
As most guys do.
Yeah, so his last review, the attorney went before the committee, and she was telling them all the good things that he had been doing,
right,
you know, in the past several years. You know, he built, actually has something of a resume if you think in terms of an inmate.
Okay.
You know, all the classes that he'd taken, all the jobs that he had done, and how he, you know, kind of work around within the compounds, you know, doing various jobs. And they just really built him up to be something of a model inmate.
Okay.
You know.
It's okay. Not funny, ladies and gentlemen. Just,
no, so
when
so
you, when you hear the term model citizen for so long, and then now you hear model inmate.
Model inmate, you know. Like, so okay. This guy is like, you know, has this impeccable behavior now. And so in their minds, this guy has been reformed.
Right.
You know, so she lays out his resume to the committee, and, you know, they kind of like a juror, you know. They take it and they kick it around and they come back, you know, the next day, excuse me, the next day and say, okay, yeah, well, you know, with all this and this guy still sticking to the guns, well, I didn't commit the crime. I didn't rape. I didn't kill.
Right.
You know, but nevertheless, he was incarcerated for it. So now they kind of let him go,
yeah.
You know, after all that. So, but there are two kinds of pardons. Would function in place a president above the... See, and that's where we are right now. And this is almost timely, too.
All right, let's talk about it.
So we talk about two kinds of pardons would function in place a president above the law. One's a self-pardon, and the other one is a self-protective pardon. Okay.
One snitches, one doesn't. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, a self-pardon, and that is a pardon that has the intent and effect of impeding an investigation into a president or his interests. And that would thus amount to a self-pardon.
Okay,
so in other words, a pardon, as we will talk about a little bit here, but you can be pardoned for the crime,
right,
that you committed.
Allegedly
committed. But a self-protective pardon.
Okay.
That's when you're trying to protect yourself from being investigated. That's almost like an obstruction of justice, so okay. To speak, you know, because you don't want to be investigated. So you pardon the person in a self-protective pardon. You're doing it for yourself now.
Right.
And so what the Constitution is set up to say, hey, look, a president cannot pardon himself.
Right.
And Madison says that's saying that a man, and I go verbatim on it, you know. Additionally, self and self-protective pardon would violate the due process principle articulated by James Madison, mm-hmm. that no man is allowed to be a judge in his own case.
Right.
You know, and that also goes back, make me think back to Ben Franklin.
Okay.
You know, Benjamin Franklin says, you know, only a fool would try to defend itself in the court of law.
And I've heard that. That's for all those inmates that try to represent themselves without a
jailhouse lawyers.
But the jailhouse lawyers kind of do that to themselves when they get up to the damn stand and don't even remember the public defender's name or their client's name, rather. You know, it's kind of like, you kind of lose the trust right off jump.
So the reason why Madison is saying that no man is allowed to be a judge in his own case because his interest would surely bias his judgment.
And that makes sense.
Legally. Yeah. Right. You know, so if I'm going to try to defend myself, you know, surely I'm not defending myself from a guilty perspective.
Right.
Because I'm not going to allege to be guilty if I'm trying to put up a defense of innocence.
Right.
So a principle invoked by the Supreme Court in order to prevent gross conflicts of interest, and that's another reason why, among public officials. Now, it says pardoning necessitate judgment.
Okay.
So if I'm gonna pardon a person for his crime, you know, that meaning that I'm not believing that you're particularly guilty of. So pardon necessitates judgment. That's my judgment as a president. So I'm going to review your case, and I'm going to probably, if you're expecting a pardon, you're also telling me that you were not guilty of this crime.
Right.
So now I'm going to review your case, and I'm going to say, now I got to be impartial. I got to be partial, actually.
Okay.
You know, to your case, because if I'm going to do a pardon, I got to believe that the evidence here is not presented that of a guilty person.
Right.
So pardoning necessitate judgment, and no man, the court has long made clear, can fairly exercise judgment over himself. Okay. So the Department of Justice relied on the same principle when it concluded that the president cannot pardon himself.
Okay.
So in there's some situations of pardons that we had to look at. And so that's what don't like talk about him, but if you win this election,
okay,
his attempt would be to try to pardon himself.
Right.
You know, but you got to remember, this guy really hasn't been judged, really. I mean, he hadn't been convicted. I say like that. He hasn't been convicted of anything. He's just been charged with these crimes.
Yeah.
But no conviction yet, you right. know. And I think that's a breakdown in our legal system, because how the world you're going to be indicted and charged with these crimes but not convicted of them yet? You know, a couple of years passing by and this guy still haven't been convicted of anything.
Yeah.
You know, now you try that, you as a private citizen.
Oh, I'm nailed to the cross.
Oh, man, right away.
You know
that thing they call a speedy trial?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to put that thing in warp speed. You know? Yeah.
I'm talking about. So. Booked on Friday, processed Saturday, in jail Monday.
Yeah. And then months later, man, you're in before the jury, you know?
You know what I mean?
But pardons, you know, are granted to offenses against the United States. However, they may not be granted for cases of impeachment.
Right.
So he's been impeached a couple of times, which means that he's not going to be receiving any pardons for those. There are four core constitutional provisions are viewed as an abuse of power. And so that's when we talk about pardons cannot be used to put the president above the law.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the reasons why they say that a president cannot pardon himself.
Right.
You know.
And if I'm not mistaken, when it comes to pardons, each state have their own pardon board, like their own board members.
Review boards?
Yeah.
You know, they do. But it says that, for an example, a self-pardon and a self-protective pardon. Now, for a self-pardon, as we mentioned earlier, has the intent and effect of impeding investigation into the president or his interests, and that would thus amount to a self-pardon, you know, which we've already determined, according to the Constitution, that he cannot pardon himself. Presidential pardons cannot undermine other parts of the Constitution, including your constitutional right.
Right. Okay.
Okay, and it gives you an example. Like in 1915, the Supreme Court found that the president could not force an individual to accept a pardon that violated his constitutional right.
Ooh.
So in this case, the Fifth Amendment, people talking about it. I plead the Fifth. His Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination, so.
So pretty much making him say he did something he didn't do.
Right, and I think sometimes when you think about these pardons, I think they almost always, you know, sort of assume that you're guilty.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is weird because the mantra is innocent until proven guilty, but they treat you like you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, that's the way they approach it, you know. So presidential pardon cannot violate criminal law. And the example of that is to protect the integrity and the trust in public servants. Federal laws prohibits public servants from exchanging official acts for anything of value for themselves or their family members. In other words, you know, you can't say, if you do this, then I'll do that.
Right.
You know, quid pro quo is what they call it in another term, you know. So the president is a public servant, and a pardon constitute a clear official act.
Right.
You know, which means, again, that you can't exchange a pardon for something tangible, you know, or some other commitment toward.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot trade a pardon for courtside seats at a Laker game.
Right, something like that.
You can't. I mean, I understand you want to see LeBron and Bronny do it, but no, it don't work like that.
And a pardon cannot license future lawbreaking on the president's behalf.
So, in other words, they can't even conspire to commit.
Yeah, check this out. Pardon. Now they use your boy in his case study, for an example.
Okay, let's hear it.
It says, Trump has proposed pardoning those convicted for actions related to January 6th insurrection.
Okay.
For which he is now a criminal defendant.
Ooh.
Such pardons would sanction an attempt to violating, overthrow the U.S. government violating the president's duty to defend the Constitution against domestic enemies as required by his oath of office.
Nice. You know? Well, I believe in that as what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're going to say that as far as getting yourself pardoned from the inciting of the riot of January 6th, then you're going to have to pardon Kai Cenat for his conviction of inciting a riot out there in New York when he was trying to give out PlayStation 5s. Because it's not the same thing, but it's highly similar. Now, I know you don't know who Kai Cenat is, so I don't expect you to have the knowledge. I don't expect you to have the knowledge. But for the younger generation that's actually listening, you know, they know who he is. He's a young content creator. He was out in New York trying to give away PlayStations. I think it was a holiday season or something of another, and it incited a riot, and they tried to say it was his fault.
Oh, yeah, I remember that case.
Right. Yeah. So now when you're talking about, you know, Donald Trump standing at the podium talking about, you know, stand by and stand ready or whatever it was that he said, and then January 6th happened, and you're the fault of it, you know, it's kind of hand in hand. If he had to go down for it, I mean, so do you, president or not.
Yeah, well, I just think that, you know, even these guys that committed this insurrection, you know, there shouldn't be, and according to the Constitution, there is no pardon for those that committed these crimes against the United States.
Not even under a mental case?
Man, look, you were mental just on the strength of you being there. I mean, you weren't like you was like, incapacitated.
Gotcha.
You know, you went there. You understood what your mission was.
Yeah.
So now how you all of a sudden get before the judge, you know, and you have this mental breakdown or something, you know, or mental condition where you don't realize that you just, you know, you just been busted.
Those mental cases are definitely hard, but nah, if you were standing there prior to the storming of the Capitol, you know, the fact that you were standing there tells me that you were 100% adherent to what was being said.
Coherent.
Yeah, coherent, you're right. You know, and you were definitely on board with the situation at hand and that you wanted to partake in it. Especially if you were there before the storming and you were there during the storming and then you got arrested. I'm sorry, but you were 10 toes into it. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the presidents have, you know, they give pardons, man. I think they, you know, President Clinton, man, he pardoned, you know, pardon and clemencies to, you know, about 450 people. You know, altogether, man, since 1700s, I think there's been something over, you know, over 3,000 pardons and stuff, you know. And so it's not unusual for them to pardon, I call them convicts, man, you know, because this one, Richardson was his name, that Clinton pardoned. You know, for something like a tax evasion or something.
Right.
And we're talking several million dollars, you know, that he was charged with evading his taxes. And, you know, this guy, man, Clinton come along and he was the president. And they're all the president's pardon people, you know.
Yeah.
But these were not crimes that were committed against the federal government.
Right.
You know, these were personal crimes, right. You know, that, you know, a person didn't pay their taxes or got busted for marijuana use or possession. Personal. You know, that was over the limit that, you know, that puts you in a whole category one as a dealer. You know, not just someone that was smoking it. You know?
Right. And so, as to my understanding, a lot of those presidents grant those pardons right around election year.
Well, they do. You know, a lot of them happens at the end of their term, but
right.
But it seems like that they it's something that they do ongoing from inception.
Right.
You know, because, you know, here's check this out now. Here's some people that some 450 people, and this is started in 1961. Failure to pay special occupational taxes on wages.
Okay.
You know, this was 1961.
Okay.
Here's one for mail fraud.
Somebody checking other people's mail.
You know, you know, for desertion, you know, okay. U.S. Army, embezzlement. You okay. know, these people went to jail for these kind of things, you know, and they're doing time. They're doing time. And so Clinton comes along, you know, at the end of his 8 years, he decides, well, like I said, it's ongoing. He's doing these parting on these people for these types of crimes. And it doesn't seem, and these are not heinous crimes. Right. So that's why you can almost see a pardon
happening.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think if you were one of those guys, you know, like, you know, severing someone's head, you know, I don't think they're going to be, you know, looking to give you no pardon for that, you know.
You chopped the head off. There's no way.
Yeah, right. Forcible rescue of seized property. Embezzlement of U.S. mail. Interstate transportation of stolen motor vehicles. You know, these are, you know, these are not violent crimes, you know, but nevertheless.
On paper.
Yeah, yeah. Unlawful distribution of LSD.
Okay.
You know.
Which is a hell of a drug, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Don't take it. Please don't take it.
Making, now see, so here's Bryant George. Meyer card, making false statements to the bank. That's what your boy did, but this guy went to jail for it. Mm. You know, he elevated.
Damn, Donald J.
yeah, you know, he raised the value of his property to get more money on a loan.
Right.
And then when it's time to pay the taxes, he lowers the price of his estate to pay less taxes.
That's crazy.
You know, and so he's been accused of that and just waiting to get his punishment of it. You know, that's why I don't.
And, you know, and regardless of the reasoning, I don't think that running for president should be a reason to prolong those type of sentencings.
Here's Susan Prater. Susan Prater, causing marijuana to be transported through the mail.
So because she was a courier that let it slide.
1975 in the Western District of Arkansas.
Well, thank you kindly, Susan. I hope you know that what you have done has actually gone in vain now that they're about to legalize that come Amendment 3 passing.
Man, you know, I'm just so fed up with all this craziness.
It's the double standardness in America that's really getting me.
Yeah.
You know, what's good for, like I said earlier when I was speaking on the Donald Trump and Kaisenat similarities, you know, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander.
Now, these are some of the pardons that from 1975, now these people was sentenced in 1980, 1951, 1975. These people were sentenced years back. One sentence in 1956, embezzled funds from savings and loans associations.
Well, let's flip it. Now, these guys are getting pardons for those things. Do you not think that Donald Trump should get those same pardons? I mean, they weren't really.
He can't. He's the president.
He's former president. He has to win to be president again.
Yeah, but you see, what did the Constitution say?
It says that
he can't pardon the president. You know, he's been impeached. What kind of pardon he's going to get?
I mean, I hear you. But so, I'm still looking at it from the civilian side, from a civilian standpoint, because these charges were when he were indeed a civilian. He wasn't running just as of yet. He hasn't put his hat in the ring when he got.
Well, I beg the difference because a lot of this stuff was happened while he was the president.
Oh, okay. And I'll give you a couple of them. The inciting of the riot of January 6th, he was definitely in president power.
Well,
but didn't he get impeached for that, though?
Well, for inciting the riot, I don't think he was the president because he had officially lost.
Gotcha. I get what you're saying. Because January 6th, he was supposed to be out the door.
Officially were not. And so that's where a lot of the entanglements come in.
Ooh.
You know, with some people, right. You know, trying to decipher, trying to decipher whether or not he should be charged as a private citizen or be charged as
the president.
A president during his official duty, which he was not.
Honestly speaking, you know? I think he would want to be a civilian because I think if you get hit as charged as a president, wouldn't those consequences be a little heavier?
You would think.
What they gonna say? All right, Donald J, you gotta pay taxes for the rest of your years. Like for the rest of your life, you gotta pay extra on taxes. But you can walk. You can go free.
I just look at
additional million a year.
I just look at some of the stuff that these people went to jail for. This one guy, I guess he was in jail for 10 years.
Oof.
You know, for obstruction of justice.
Okay. For not helping the investigation.
I'm not sure exactly, but it was the District of Puerto Rico.
Ooh.
You know, he was part.
Wait, what year was this?
This was in 97. Well, he went to jail and he was sentenced in 87, 1987.
Okay.
He did 10 years because he got a pardon in December 1997.
Okay.
You know.
But to your point, that's the end of somebody's term.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I just look at some of the pardons, you know, the offenses, I guess, you know, that they were charged with. And then I go like, well, why is this guy still walking around? These people did time.
Yeah.
You know, here's one person did about 50 years. 1947, a U.S. Navy guy was sentenced in 1947, theft of 4 pounds of butter. Oh, man.
That's like off with his head for stealing corn to feed his family.
Yeah,
like,
you know. So.
Okay.
Yeah, man, you know.
Reading about it just really makes him, just frustrates you, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Distribution of cocaine. This guy went to jail in 75. Whoa. So.
The cocaine distributors, I don't really have no sympathy for, because you really got to ask, how many people has he sold to? And of the people that he has sold to, how many of them OD'd? So now those are murder charges to me personally, but I digress on that. I won't tap too hard into it. I just feel like, okay, you know, when it comes down to it, I feel like Mr. Donald J, I don't feel like he needs to be held at a different ground as the rest of us. I don't feel, especially when you talk about the job occupation of the president. I mean, I've heard you say it when we broke into Section 2, Article 2. You was talking about how he was a public servant,
right?
So in all technicalities, you work for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I'm telling you that what you did was not okay, I don't think that you should be held at a higher regard than the rest of us.
Well, he really, and that's what the Constitution says. He say, look, the president, man, you cannot in no form or fashion be considered above the law.
Exactly.
You know, so the law applies to him as well as it does to others.
To a regular civilian. You're a public servant. You're not God, man.
No. What they say is he's not a king.
Or a senator, for that matter.
So Britain, you know, had the kingship. You know, those guys could do whatever they want. Absolutely. Nothing can be done to
them. Same with England.
Yeah, you know. Yes. So when they're making reference to, hey, look, the president is not the king. He's not a king, so he's not above the law. You know, that means that anything that anybody in the United States commits a crime, he or she has to be held accountable. You know, not just, you know, before the courts. I mean, in terms of punishment as well. You know, we can't not punish you because you're the president or a senator. You know, I look at these guys, man, like you take, I think he's a congressman, a senator for Florida, that responsible for getting McCarthy out of office.
Okay.
You know, this guy was, you know, having sex with a minor, 16-year-old. You know, as long as that been, this guy hadn't been to court yet. You know, what is that, man? You know, the system is, you shouldn't have a two-fold system, man. The law applies to everybody equally, and that's why, you know, America is losing on that front because they're giving too much leeways to the criminals that are political figures, you know. But nevertheless, you know, a regular citizen commit these kind of crimes and off he goes, you know. So... But at any rate, we getting to the end. You can go ahead. We getting to the end of this campaign year, this election year. I choose to be in the last day. All the counting and totals and frustrations will be over, and so we'll be able to see how or who prevails.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people will be glad that it's over. You know?
Oh, most definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if this is backlogged accurately, it would be, technically, it would be a Monday, November 4th, which means that November 5th will be the last day for you guys to place your votes out, for you guys to go ahead and try to make a difference as best as you can. Can you unlock that for me, boss?
And actually, you know, I got one thing that I was listening to. I was listening to a pastor talk, and he was trying to say, hey, look, even though, you know, you're a Christian, you're not of the world, but you're in this world.
I've been hearing that.
And bar. So what he's prescribing for Christians,
right?
He said you're a citizen of a state,
right?
And it doesn't matter who you like,
who you don't like.
You know, he says, but look at what each of these persons are prescribing for you in a religious sense. And he took all of the issues and he connected it to a verse or a chapter in the Bible.
That's nice. Okay.
You know, and he says, look, you see what they are offering and how it benefits your life. You know, you see what the other guy's offering.
Right.
And how it may benefit or impact your life.
Right.
If none of them are offering anything that's going to impact your life personally.
Yeah.
Consider your neighbors, your friends, a family member.
Right.
You know, what they're offering, would it impact your family member or your neighbor or your community?
Right.
You know, and if you're not concerned about any of those, then you're going to be a party guy, you know, supporting your party.
Yeah.
And how much of that value that carries will determine on who goes into the Oval Office come January 6th. So, people, if you haven't, get to the polls. You still got time to go vote your conscience. So, we need for everyone that are voting age to go out and vote.
I agree. 1,000%. I was messing around because, you know, right when it gets closer and closer to the voting time, you know, you start getting all of the text on your phone and things of that nature, right? So I sat there and I just so happened to just take a small gander at a lot of the voters out there. And it is, there are tens of thousands that are bipartisan. So it was like, forgive me because the numbers aren't accurate. It was like Republicans in Duval County was like 131,000. Democrats was like 93,000. And then the bipartisan was like 150,000, some mess like that. So it's like we have a lot of some bipartisans out here, you know. But to your point,
for early voting,
yeah. But to your point, we got. If you are a huge believer in allowing the government to bend your life to appease you, then this is the moment to do so. You have to vote now. Anything less than, I don't want to hear a complaint. This president is ruining whatever, because if you didn't vote, it's probably your fault.
Yeah, you've had plenty.
Had plenty of time. You know, we got, you know, think about Amendment 4, the Roe v. Wade. Think about legalization of marijuana. Think about property taxes. For some of the homeowners out there, I'm pretty sure y'all just got y'all property taxes in the notices in the mail, and I'm pretty sure y'all are very shocked and awed about those numbers. Who we put in presidency would determine what the next year's numbers are going to look like. We want to make sure that we're voting for somebody that is going to just really be kind of not on the fence, but on the side of justice versus the side of interest. You know, we don't want anybody that's going to make it seem like it's okay to do all of these crimes and get away with it, but then when we do those crimes, they want to throw the book.
Well, you know, the thing of it is we've been saying, you know, this whole time,
right,
that we've been talking about the Constitution, you know, the president is not just a president for the party. He's a president for all the people in the country.
Exactly.
You can't just represent your political party, you know, because now you got almost 340 million people in the country. And we know that more than half or thereabout are not of a particular party.
Right.
You know, so if you're going to represent only your people, or your party, I should say, then you probably need to go someplace else, you know, where the country is of one political party.
Dictatorship, I call it.
You know, you can't be a dictator in America, because you got to represent more than one political party, you know. So
what we spoke on in the beginning of the show, the shoe of the other foot syndrome.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people that want to, and it sounds very biased when you say it like this, but it's typically your Republicans that have that shoe on the other foot syndrome, where they want to do what's best for them, but they don't want to take the shoe off to see how the other one's looking. To see how does that affect the other Americans that didn't vote for the guy that you voted for, or the girl that you voted for.
Here's the interesting closing on Section 4 of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 4. It says the president, the vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and convictions of treasons, briberies, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So that should trump all his charges.
Pun intended. Y'all been tuned in to Walker the Walker. Don't forget to vote out there. Go out there and vote tomorrow. We're going to go ahead and we're going to disconnect so we can watch these Jags either win or lose against the Eagles. Again, this is backlogged. So you guys will probably be hearing this on Monday, the 4th, which means you get out there and you vote on the 5th. OG, anything you want to leave them with?
Hey, man, that's the ball game, man. We just need to make sure that everybody that, and I say it again, don't want to sound like a broken record, but just to emphasize the importance of voting, not just in this election, in all elections.
Including the midterms.
Including midterms, you know. We need to continue going to the poll. And then the next time we talk, we're going to emphasize the importance of going to the polls, particularly during midterms.
Exactly. And now, and if you want to know what's going on the voting booth on this one, please tune in to season one. We have it on one of the episodes where we spoke real in depth on what was going on this year's ballot. Y'all make sure y'all get ready for it. And above all else, if you're not going to vote,
you can't complain.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Man, y'all stay blessed out there, man. Love, love, love. Love it.